In today's second reading, St. Paul tells us that the death of Jesus has torn down the wall of enmity between Jews and Gentiles in the church. And he also says that this was by abolishing or nullifying or setting aside the law. He then goes on to say, more importantly, that Christ is our peace because he has made peace between us and God. And in the first reading, the prophet says that Christ is our justice, our righteousness. So our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our peace and our righteousness. Now, in Paul's letters, there's a lot of arguments about the law. But the arguments about the law in St. Paul's letters are all about the issue of circumcision. Whether or not the men of the new covenant need to be circumcised. Now, this is not a burning issue with most of us, I think. At least I hope not. But what is being said is that on the level of the flesh, the Jews are way above the Gentiles. They've been chosen by God. God is their father and they are his children. They have the promises. They have the covenants. They have divine worship. They have the oracles of God and his scriptures. They have the law and the prophets. They have the patriarchs and indeed also have Jesus Christ according to the flesh. So according to the flesh, the Jews have it all and the Gentiles, it's Jews 10 and Gentiles 0. So what Paul is saying is that in the new covenant, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, not by bringing the Jews down to the level of the Gentiles, or even by bringing the Gentiles up to the level of the Jews. On the contrary, what Paul teaches is that both Jews and Gentiles, there's no distinction because both of them have been super elevated. Both of them have been given a vocation that is far beyond any human possibility or achievement. Both of them have been given communion with God. So the level of the flesh, the Jews have it all, and the Jews 10, Gentiles 0. And what happens is both of them are given 1,000 in the new covenant. So oftentimes we think that, so it is not that the law has been abolished in the sense of we can do whatever we please. On the contrary, we have more expected of us in the new covenant than was expected of the Jews in the old. It's not as if God gave all these rules for the Old Testament and then expects us to be slouches and couch potatoes. On the contrary, he expects more from us. This is what our Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah, right. I have a hard time being a mature, adult, fallible human being, much less being not only perfect, but perfect as God is perfect. That is only possible by God's free gift of power and grace. St. Paul tells us, the word of the cross is powerful and can be emptied of that power by evil shepherds. He also says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Spirit empowers us by the power of the death of Jesus to be righteous so that we can become the righteousness of God. God makes us powerful. As St. Paul says, when we were weak, God loved us and made us strong. So we are not poor little weaklings who can't fulfill the law. There is no commandment of the law, and there is no moral precept, and there is no personal vocation that we have been given that God has not given us super eminent and super abundant grace to fulfill, each and every one of us. Now, this will entail being crucified. Yes, that's true. We all have to carry our cross. But that's precisely what the cross is for. It's to conform us to the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. So when we reflect on our lives as Christians, we have to say, is my life radiant with God's power? Have I fulfilled the law by loving my neighbor, not just as I love myself, but as Christ has loved me? St. Paul says, God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's not just our love, it's God's love. And God's love transfigures our love. We should not think of Christian love as love, L-U-V. We should rather recognize that the love that is being called of us is the love by which Christ died on the cross for us, to give us life. It is that love that we're called to have. Not an emotion, not a passion, not a feeling, but rather that transformative love of God that makes our lives radiate God's own love in our lives. St. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because God is the one at work at you, both to do and to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, if God is the one who is at work in me to will and to do according to his good pleasure, I do not have fear and trembling because I'm afraid that God isn't working hard enough. My fear and trembling is because fear and trembling is the natural human response to the presence and activity of God. So the reason why I work out my salvation in fear and trembling is not because I don't have confidence in God's working in me. It's rather that I have to recognize that any good work that I do is a divine epiphany. It is God showing his face to the world. So before we receive communion today, let us ask, am I transfigured by God's grace? Do people, when they see me, see the face of Jesus Christ? And if that's not the case, perhaps you need to get to confession. I know I do frequently. I would also say, when we receive our Lord's body and blood, soul, spirit, and divinity, we are being brought into communion with the Son and his sacrifice. God took on perfect solidarity with us as sinful human beings so that we might enter into a new solidarity with him and his Father and in the Spirit. We've been caught up into the very intimacy and love of the Trinity. And that has got to make a difference in our lives. The question is, how visible is that? So let us approach the altar of the Lord, recognizing the many gifts that God gives to us, and in gratitude, live godly lives.